Hello, beautiful friends. Welcome to another episode of Heart and Hustle, Visionary Healers, Movers, and Shakers. I am your host, Paulette Ristini, your transformational lifestyle and business coach for creative women on the verge of becoming something more, something bigger, something better, more beautiful, more fulfilling, sustaining, joyful. Because we are all here to live a joyful life, right? Jennifer's shaking her head. Yes. We are all here to live a better life and to be of service, to be able to give back, to be supportive, encouraging, creative humans that we're all here meant to be. So I'm really excited to bring you this interview today with Jennifer Moore. Jennifer, welcome to this episode.
Thank you so much, Paulette. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm so excited to hear more of your story. So Jennifer is owns Empathic Mastery. And you, I mean, I'm going to let you kind of talk about all the beautiful things that you do. And you've got your book in the background.
I do, right here. And even close enough that I can actually reach it. So, yeah. Yes.
Empathic Mastery. So
yes.
So tell us, come on, give us some juice.
Okay, so where do we even begin? So my name is Jennifer Moore, and I am the author of the book Empathic Mastery, as well as the author in, or a collaborator in, three multi-author books at this point in time. And I've got my second solo book in the works right now, which the working title is The Invitation, and it's a channeled piece of work. So completely different departure from where I've gone. And it's talking about why so many people are waking up to being empathic these days, why there are so many more empaths in the world, and the nature of our evolution as a species. Anyway, I also am a mentor and a healer for highly sensitive empathic people, and I'm a master trainer for EFT International. And EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, which is also known as tapping. And really simply put, it's kind of a mental, emotional form of acupuncture without the needles. And so my passion is really supporting people who are highly sensitive, and especially helping people understand how being highly sensitive is impacting all aspects of their life, and how to go from absorbing all the thoughts, feelings, energy, sensations, pain, struggling, suffering that's going on in the world, to actually really being able to become calm, grounded beacons for peace, for love, for healing, and radiate love into the world instead.
Oh, I love that so much. And so actually, you know, this is my fifth year of doing this podcast. And I think you're the first person who has done that I've interviewed for the podcast who is an EFT.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know.
Amazing.
So I'm so glad that you are here to share some of that message.
Mm-hmm.
As well as all the other messages you have, which is brilliant and beautiful.
Well, an EFT for me has been absolutely life-changing. And I decided to become a master trainer because it was so profound and so powerful and so transformative for me that I just knew that I really, really, really wanted to share it with the rest of the world and help other people to learn how to share it as well, because it does make such an incredible, incredible difference. But I will say, with a caveat, when applied correctly, there are a lot of people and places you can find a ton of bad tapping online. And you can find a lot of places where people sort of have learned, you know, kind of how to do it by watching a video online and don't necessarily know how to use it the most efficiently and the most effectively. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is like listening to this and they're like, oh, I've tried that thing, it didn't really work for me, it's very likely that the way that you tried it was not as effective as it can be. Yeah.
Sure. And that goes with all the tools.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and there's so many people who think they can learn something and then just go out and start teaching it or sharing it or whatever. And there's sometimes there's a lot more to it.
A lot more to it. Well, and you know, this is, I mean, I could go off on a whole, this is like a soapbox tangent of mine that I could go off on, because the thing is, right now, when it comes to the coaching world, the transformational entrepreneur world, all of these different worlds, there's a lot of like, there's not a lot of regulation. And so anybody can take a course on Udemy or read a book or watch a couple of YouTube videos and or have a life-changing experience and decide that it's time to put up their shingle and claim to be an expert in something that they have no credentials in, that they have no training in, that they have no real experience in. And I certainly noticed a phenomenon. I've been through many different movements, but I remember, especially, I went through a period where I was following a raw food diet. And I just remember how there were so many people who would like have a personal transformation at about 6 months in, after their body had like they'd shed some weight and everything, they would decide to become like a raw food expert, cook, you know, cookbook writer or coach. But the thing is, it's like they're on the pink cloud still. And I think that that's something that happens for a lot of people, is that they get excited about something and then start to try to monetize it while they're still on their pink cloud, but haven't really paid their dues. But that's a whole other story. That's a whole
Well,
other
no, but you
interview.
know what? That's something really great to touch on, because I too have found that I have many genres as well. I'm, multi-passionate, but I run a global dance company. And I have certified teachers and certified master teachers now, and certified master leaders who have studied with me for years and years and years and years and years. And there are people who think they can take a couple classes and go out and teach this particular style. Well, I mean, the heart is always coming from a good place, I believe.
Yes.
But it takes something to invest in yourself.
It does.
And that's really, really important, to invest in your studies. And sometimes it takes money, sometimes it takes time, it takes commitment. But it's so good. It's so important to learn the passion that you have, to learn about the passion that you have, where it comes from, how it is, whatever it is.
Well, and you're reminding me of something, or really making me think about, you know, we live in a fast fix culture.
Yes,
We live in
yes.
a culture, we live in a culture where you can go online and you can find people who promise that if you pay $10,000, that you can have a transformational life experience in 6 weeks, that you can, your entire world will be like, you won't recognize yourself after you do this particular healing modality and invest in this particular kind of training. And the thing is that, you know, we didn't get the way that we are overnight, and we're not going to back out of the skid overnight either. And a big piece of why I wrote Empathic Mastery, why I do what I do, is because what I find is that the quick fix solutions, especially for those of us who are highly sensitive and empathic, are really ineffective. And if anything, are damaging and harmful. And so, you know, like this message of like the slow, you know, there's the slow food movement right now, where that idea of moving back into slowness. But I think we also might want to look at the idea or the concept of like the slow healing, or the slow development, or slow spiritual growth, or slow recovery movement as well. Because it takes a lifetime to really fully integrate and understand what it is that we are here to do, what we are. And it's not something we need to rush. But I do think that, you know, in this culture of just give me a quick sound bite, give me a quick answer, give me this thing, people kind of think that if it's taking longer for them than they think it should, then they start wondering, well, what's wrong with me? Why is this taking so long? When the truth is, it takes all of us a much longer time than necessarily we might have anticipated in the first place.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's to honor yourself in that way,
Yeah.
to honor your own path and your own journey, to respect where you've come from, to respect who you've come from, to respect the tradition That's all just so important and so beautiful.
Absolutely.
It is not a quick fix.
It is not a quick fix. And
I mean, I'm constantly, I'm learning forever and ever, you know,
which right I there love. With you.
Love, love it. I love it. So anyway, that was great. That's a great little bam. So, okay. So more about you.
Okay.
So tell me about your book.
So my book is basically, so the title is Empathic Mastery. It is a five step system to go from emotional hot mess, me, to thriving success. And basically I've been referring to myself as a world-class awfulizer for, or actually a former world-class awfulizer. I come from a long line of high-strung, worrying people who are oversensitive, or not oversensitive, but who are highly sensitive and often, but had no tools whatsoever. And so as a small child, I knew that I was different. I knew that I couldn't play the reindeer games like everybody else. I was like, I recognize myself as a misfit toy. And I really struggled with the fact that not only did I know I was different, but all the children around me knew I was different. You know, it's like, and that's something that I think, you know, people who are not different don't necessarily understand that those of us who are sort of the misfits, those of us who are the outliers, even as small children, we're getting messages that we are not the same as the other kids. And so I knew I was different, but I didn't understand exactly what that meant or how I was different, except that I was constantly feeling intense feelings and feeling anxiousness and feeling sort of strange, you know, just sort of feeling strange sensations that didn't correlate with my life experience. And so I started experiencing being told things like, you're too sensitive, you're overreacting, you're taking it too personally, you've got an overactive imagination, just let it go, just stop worrying about it. Sometimes, oh, they're just jealous of you, don't let them bother you. But just all kinds of invalidating, dismissing messages when I was really feeling a lot of stuff. And so by the time I was nine, at nine, I had my first prophetic dream. And by the time I was like probably 10 or 11 years old, I was starting my way into a sugar addiction and using sugar as a way to self-soothe and a way to try to navigate and manage my distress. But it wasn't until I was really in my late 20s that I started to understand that so much of what was going on for me was about the fact that I was picking up the thoughts, the feelings, the energy, the sensations, the worries, the mental chatter from the world around me, and that a very substantial portion of my distress and overwhelm that I was dealing with on a daily basis was actually coming from the fact that I was very porous, very absorbent, and didn't really have any, you know, effective emotional or psychic filters or shields. And so I started on the journey of sort of empath recovery. I was very, very lucky to have found a really gifted psychotherapist who had the ability to start, who was very intuitive, who started helping me to parse out how frequently I would be feeling distressed after having a conversation with somebody, after being around people who were in a state of distress. And she started to teach me how to recognize what was mine, what was not mine, and how to let things go. And so from that experience, I started to learn about the fact that I needed to be able to protect myself, that as a highly sensitive empathic person, my sensitivity was a vulnerability, but it was also a gift. And so over the course of the next many years, I started developing tools as a healer. I started learning about how to become grounded. I started learning the most important B word of all, boundaries. And I started to really understand this. And as I did this, I developed my chops as a psychic, intuitive, and a healer. And I eventually actually became a professional tattooer for 20 years, where I did that as a healing art. Yeah.
Dang, woman, I did not know that about
Yeah.
you. Okay.
Yeah. And so I see you have some work yourself.
I got a
yeah.
lot of
So
work.
I became a professional tattooer, but people were coming to me from literally all over the world to get tattooed because I was doing it as a healing art. And one of the things that I was noticing was that there was a consistent theme with pretty much everybody I was working with, which was that they were highly sensitive and empathic, and that most of the issues that were going on for them were as a result of the fact that they were empaths. So I started to kind of parse this out, and I started thinking, I really want to write a book. And the original working title was basically The Care and Feeding of Your Psychic Self Living in a Muggle World. And I decided that I wanted to do this because I realized, like, I had spent a lot of time through a lot of trial and error, like learning how not to take on the agony and the misery of the world. And so from that, what I realized was that a lot of the solutions don't quite cut it because they're either telling people you just got to put a bubble of light up around you and think happy thoughts, or they're not even necessary, or they're the focuses are on developing your spiritual practice, opening yourself intuitively and psychically, like, you know, like being able to receive more. And what I found was that empathic, highly sensitive, empathic, and intuitive people rarely need to open up more. What we need to do is we need to learn how to discern what's going on. So basically, this led me to write a book. And the book is, the first part of the book is all about, what is an empath? Why are we this way? What does it mean to be this way? And what are the ramifications of this in the world? And then the second part is the 5-step system that really teaches us how to move from overwhelmed.
Okay. Rosie, sorry about that.
No worries.
One second.
I'm just always grateful during one of these interviews when it's not my dog. Just gotta say.
That was my dog.
I'm just so thankful that it's like that it's another person's dog barking, because Lilu recently has taken to barking at the television set. Like, we're just like, what the hell are you barking at? And like, oh God, it's just, so it's a little bit, so I'm just grateful that it's your dog, not mine. So rolling back,
working at home, but I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No worries. Okay. So that was at the like 22 minute mark. So rolling back. So part two is about the 5-step system of empathic mastery, which basically allows us to systematically go from being overwhelmed and emotional hot mess to really being able to become calm, grounded beacons for peace, for love, and for healing. And so the 5-step systems are recognized, because the thing is, before we can even do anything about protecting ourselves, we have to recognize that we're in a state of distress. And so recognize is first about just recognizing that we are an empath. Second is recognizing that we are out of sorts and that we're picking something up. And then the third part of recognize is recognizing what's ours and what's not ours. So a really basic tool that I like to start with is putting my hands over my heart. And if I notice I'm experiencing sort of an unexplainable sense of wonkiness or distress, what I will do is I'll just ask myself, is this mine? And I will say that about 90% of the time, the answer is yes, and, which means that some of it is mine, but a lot of it is coming from another source. And so then once we recognize what's coming in, the next step is release. Because the thing is, if we're going to actually be able to function and thrive, we can't be carrying around all kinds of emotional and energetic and psychic baggage. And so in order to be able to really effectively live in the world, we need to release all of the distress that we've taken on. Because also, if we try to just build up filters and shields before we do the releasing work, it's going to corrode from the inside out. So release is the second step. And what I find is that very often people jump ahead to the third step, which is protect, which is all about the putting up the filters and shields, as well as establishing strategic boundaries. But what I found was we needed those first two steps in order to effectively protect ourselves. And so protect is all about reinforcing our filters and shields, learning how to get ourselves energetically grounded, as well as looking at the strategies and the logistics of our life and actually examining in what ways are we compromising our own boundaries? In what ways are we giving away our power? In what ways are we giving more than we can afford to be giving? Like all of the different ways that as highly sensitive people, we can violate our own boundaries. So we need to be really looking at not just sort of the porousness of our filters and shields and sensitivity that way, but also our behaviors and our tendencies to give more and take on more than we need to. The fourth step is connect, because as you've always, I'm sure you've heard the saying, the universe abhors a vacuum. Once we've released all that negative stuff, if we don't replace it with something positive, then it's very likely we're going to just attract more of the same, and we're going to go back into the old patterns. So connect is really about filling ourselves up with something greater than ourselves, filling ourselves up with a sense of connection to the divine, claiming and also claiming our sense of mission, claiming our sense of purpose, really like stepping into a higher sense of self, which the, you know, your intro, I can tell you and I are completely on the same page yes. about this, that it's about living the joyful, examined life. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth step is act, which has to do with living in the world in a different way and making choices that are about how do we live from a healthy place as opposed yes. to just continuing to just sort of yes. re-engage in the old bad behaviors. So recognize, release, protect, connect, and act. Those are the five steps of empathic mastery. And that's what this big, you know, big mama of a book, 380 pages. And it's a resource. It is an absolute resource for highly sensitive empathic people. And that's what this book is all about. Here? Excuse me?
When did that come out?
This came out in October of 2019, right before the world decided to turn upside down. Yeah. Right in time.
Sweet. And is that your first book?
That was my first book. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. And I will say that I identify as a reluctant writer, that I, you know, I've only after writing, you know, at this point in time, I'm basically, you know, with the multi-author books, I'm a published author of 4 books now. Actually one's in the works. It hasn't launched yet, but I'm a published author of 3 books and 1 on the way and another one that I'm writing. And now I'm willing to call myself an author, but there were a number of years where I was a little bit reluctant to say that because I come from a family with a lot of learning disabilities. I come from a family with ADHD and with dyslexia. And so I have had to learn how to write in a way that again, don't play the reindeer games. I had to learn to write in a way that worked for me, not for like how somebody thinks a writer writes.
Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you. Thank you.
For all the overcoming the obstacles and for bringing it out into the world. And I have 4 books out myself.
Congratulations. I know what a big deal that is. Yeah.
It is so good.
It is so good. Well, and then it's like you get that first book done and it's kind of like, it's almost like that's like the, I don't know, like that's kind of like the linchpin or something. And then it's like the entire dam just opens up and then it's like, and you could write a book about this and you could write a book about this. So I will probably be writing books for the rest of my life.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. So glad. So glad. Oh my gosh. So many juicy tidbits and all of that.
Yes.
So, okay, 2 questions.
Okay.
One, I want to touch on number 5. Mm-hmm. Number 5 of your principles. And then I want to talk a little bit more about you personally.
Okay.
So let's go back to number 5.
Yes.
So explain that again in a nutshell.
Okay. So basically, in a real nutshell, number 5 is about acting ethically in the world. Yes. And about recognizing what behaviors are appropriate and good in the world, and what are the things that, especially as a highly sensitive empathic person, get you in trouble. And if you want sort of like the absolute like cheat sheet, like crib notes of this, it is, it really has to do with appropriateness of boundaries, but also not volunteering to sit, fix, and rescue and save before we have been asked. That the thing that I see, that I see so many highly sensitive empathic people doing is they sense a need and they go rushing into rescue before they've even been asked for it, offering, you know, basically offering unsolicited help, advice, support, and frequently just bleeding themselves dry because they are giving support to people who haven't even asked for it, are not interested in it, and are not ready for it. And so a very big part of ACT is about learning how to pump the brakes and about learning how to recognize when is it appropriate to be offering support and when is it not appropriate to be offering support? Cool. And so one of my foundational personal boundaries is that I only work with and support people who have asked for and or consented to my support. And I will not help people who have not engaged, that I don't have an agreement with. Now, I will say that sometimes if I see somebody struggling and drowning, I might say, hey, it looks like you're drowning. Would you like a hand? And if they say yes, then I will offer them more support. And in cases where, you know, the rare extreme case where I could end up being a first responder, in those cases, then the boundary of they have to say yes, like, you know, all bets are off when it comes to being a first responder. But in most cases, when you're talking about dealing with adults with free will, it is not our job or responsibility to be going into their stuff and fixing it.
Yes.
And so for me, and this was a major, major, like, boy, howdy, did this take a lot of stuff off my plate when I stopped trying to be the solution and the messiah for the entire planet.
Oh my God, that is like a bumper sticker right there. Yeah. So beautiful. That's so beautiful. And I know that even I, as a coach, I have to stop myself sometimes.
It's like, oh yeah.
You know, oh, I can help you with that. It's like, but how many of you have experienced, you know, someone coming to you and going, oh, you should do this and you should do this and you should do this. And you're like, fuck you.
Right. Right. Unsolicited.
Yeah.
Well, and I had an experience. I was at a retreat a number of years ago where people had tables on the outside. And I happened to sort of just pass by this woman's table and she had some essential oils out on the table. And I just was sort of making casual talk with this woman. And the next thing I know, she's psychically reading me and offering me unsolicited advice. And I personally found it repugnant. I was like, I did not give you permission to probe my energy system. I did not ask for your advice. And not only that, she was completely off base. Like, it was like, it's kind of like, honey, you might be trying to impress me with your psychic abilities, but no, you have just basically like any consideration I might have had to have a relation, like any engagement with you, sure. You just completely destroyed it. Yeah.
And so that just brings up the whole idea of the art of listening.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because some people just want to be heard.
I think that everybody just wants to be heard. I think that everybody that, and I think that that's the thing that we so frequently forget.
Yeah.
And I would actually say that I think that the other thing I have found is that as highly sensitive empathic people, we often will rush to rescue because we feel better when other people feel better.
Yeah.
And so because an empath without any protective filters or shields is picking up all the thoughts, the feelings, the sensations, the energy from the world around them, what happens to them is that it is really uncomfortable to be with around another person who's in a state of distress. Mm-hmm. But this is as a result, we will rush into rescue. This is especially true if we have not done any work on our own wounds, our own triggers, and our own stuff. And so if we've never learned how to sit with our own pain and our own fear and our own grief and our own anger, then it becomes nearly unbearable to be in the presence of other people who are enduring that. And yet what I have truly found is that what most people, as you said, most people want to be heard. Most people really want a space to be supported and affirmed, and not necessarily to have somebody offer some kind of a quick fix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's a huge lesson for so many people.
So many people.
So many people. It's like, yeah. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I just want you to listen.
Right.
Well, dance for a minute.
Well, and it's, you know, it's easier in many ways to externalize our pain by focusing on somebody else's problems and looking at what's going on there and rushing to find a solution than it is to experience what gets stirred up within us when we witness another human being's human condition.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. All right. So you, madam,
mm-hmm.
What do you do for yourself?
What do I do for myself?
What do you do for Jennifer, the woman?
I make a point to get as much sleep as possible. I spend a great deal of time just outside, not a great deal of time. I need a sip of water. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So I spend as much time as I can outside, usually with my dog, Lilu. And I also spend a lot of time cuddling with my dog, Lilu, and enjoying the company of my two cats. I also am really aware of the fact that as a highly sensitive empathic person, there are certain kind of non-negotiables with the nature of my body. And one of them is that I'm very sensitive to food. And I'm very sensitive, especially to, as I mentioned before, sugar. And so I abstain from processed sugar. I eat a very low carbohydrate or mostly low carbohydrate. I have periods where I'm just like, F it, I'm going to eat some chips. But but I eat generally a fairly low carbohydrate and sort of moderate fat, moderate protein diet, but of whole foods. And I really make a point of being mindful of what I'm putting into my body. So I avoid any kind of synthetic fragrances. We use cleaning supplies in the house.
Nice.
We don't, you know, we don't use any kind of things like Febreze or something, which makes me literally wheeze.
Oh.
And so a lot of what I do for me has to do with being really mindful of supporting my nervous system and supporting my system to stay regulated. Mm-hmm. And if I notice I'm getting dysregulated, to allow myself to like use tools like tapping, prayer, you know, walking in nature contemplatively, a little bit of journaling. It's not really my main thing. I'm much more of a talker than a journaler. And talking to people that I love and reaching out and making those kinds of connections. So, you know, and I also am a very strong believer in if you want to dish it out, you need to be willing to eat it yourself. And so I'm very committed to receiving support. And I have a number of colleagues and mentors and people that I either exchange, like we do trades, or I have people who are my mentors that I pay to coach me and to support me. And so I spend a lot of time getting support. Because I believe that there is nobody on this planet who is completely able to see everything about themselves. And I believe strongly in you can't read the label from the inside of the jar. And so I trust people who are skilled, gifted mentors who have, you know, who've figured things out to support me. And especially if there's something where I'm spinning my wheels or I'm stuck or I'm lost or I don't know what I'm doing, I go to my mentors.
That's so beautiful. And that's so, I think that is one of the biggest issues I see these days is women not allowing themselves to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You
know, whether it's, I can't afford it. I don't have the time. I'm not worthy, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I'm like, you know, I'll have four coaches at one time.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Because this world is is complicated, and my life is beautiful and complicated and fabulous and creative. And I'm not going to write the book on everything I do. I want someone else to help me a little bit, right?
Well, and you know, we live in, I think this is actually, you know, our society, like even the way that education works, we're supposed to be well-rounded individuals. And like, instead of teaching to people's strengths, we often teach to people's weaknesses. Like just thinking about the, excuse me, just thinking about how the educational system works, it's like, if somebody does poorly, does really well in writing and does really poorly in math, usually they're going to be sent to a math tutor, not get to go into AP English. And the thing is that I think that when it comes to ourselves, really recognizing what our strengths are and what our wheelhouse is, and playing to our strengths and our wheelhouse, and then delegating out and getting support for the other stuff is so incredibly important. And, you know, and part of it is there are things that other people do better than I do.
Yes.
And it's really important to let experts do what they do well. And
right.
sort of like, I, there are things that I know I do really well, and there are things that I know I don't do really well. I am going to leave that to the other person.
And that's a big part of it, I think, is that I'm not Wonder Woman, even though I've tried to be on many times.
Right.
But I can't do it all, and I don't want to do it all. I want to do what I'm really good at.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking, you're not the Angel Lee lady, you know, that old perfume commercial.
Right.
I can bring home the bacon, yes. Fry it up in a pan.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to do that many times.
Yes.
So beautiful. Well, that was great, great words of wisdom. You guys out there in Heart and Hustle Land, how are you taking all this in? So beautiful.
And
just such great conversation, Jennifer.
So yummy, Paulette.
I know. Yeah. We could talk about this for hours and
we
hours.
We could talk about this for hours and hours. Okay. And I have a feeling you and I are very much on the same page about a lot of this.
We are, totally. And you know, I hope we can remain and stay connected as well. And you guys, I'll have all of Jennifer's contact information so you can be in touch with her and go out and purchase her books and, you know, stay in touch and let us know how this sits with you. You know, or if you feel like you're empathic and don't know what to do about that, or this is a new feeling for you, or, you know, there's so many variations on that theme, right, Jennifer?
So many variations on, and being an empath is on a spectrum, actually, you know, that there you've got the people who are sort of like the oblivious narcissistic sociopaths on one side, and then you have the people who shall remain nameless, but and then you have the people
that's hilarious. Oh my God.
And then you have the people who are so extreme that they can't even recognize the empaths who can't even distinguish between themselves and the rest of the world. Like they're just so immersed, some of them so much so that they're picking up energy from the past, from the present and the future, from the entire globe.
And they just want to hide in a closet, right?
Just want to hide in a closet because it is so overwhelming. And even if they're hiding in a closet, they're still feeling all the feels.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there are a lot of people who sort of fall somewhere in those middle categories. And the way I look at it is like, there's sort of, you know, the extreme disconnected people, but then we've got sort of the capacity for empathy. Then we've got the ability for to be empathic. And then we have the empaths. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a spectrum. Yeah.
And I mean, there's so many levels that you can work with that on.
Yeah.
Which is
so many levels.
Great.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you've taken it to the nth degree to really reach out to those other people who are feeling those things so that you can help them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is part of your magic. You're part of your mastery. And we need you.
Yeah.
We need you. So I'm so blessed and honored to have you here with us today, Jennifer.
Paulette, thank you so much for having me. This has truly been a delightful conversation.
So good. We're going to have another one. I just know it.
Awesome.
So all right, great. My friends out in Heart and Hustle Land, thank you for joining us for this other episode. I am Paulette Ristini. your transformational lifestyle and coach for creative women on the verge of becoming something new and different and fabulous and magical. And Jennifer Moore has been with us today. Empathic mastery and all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
It makes life, you know, beautiful and magical and special for all of us as individuals, right? So good. So until we meet again, many blessings. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.